Bernanke served as chairman during the Great Recession and through most of the early days of the recovery, at a period when the Fed was trying to keep the economy afloat and return to growth. He says the automatic spending cuts Congress allowed to kick in 2013 didn't help matters. He estimates those cuts, combined with earlier drawdowns in defense spending, probably slowed GDP growth by 3 to 4/10 of a percent.
Not enormous, but noticeable. And that was in turn partly due to the drawdown of the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, but also in part due to deliberate budget cutting that took place in 2010. And in fact, the worst year in terms of adverse effects was 2013, which was a very negative year in terms of fiscal contraction and the effects on our economy. The effects on demand side growth last few years have been mildly negative. Part of it was completely understandable. Certainly, you wouldn't want to determine the resources devoted to the Iraq and Afghanistan in any way by U.S. Cyclical conditions. But the other part, I think, was to some extent a self-inflicted wound, since all these cuts were made for presumably economic reasons, but in fact they went mostly in the wrong direction, in the sense that they were a mild negative in an economy that was trying to recover. It's less of a deal than it used to be, because defense spending is a smaller part of the economy, but I think unwisely that the cuts in military spending, which were not motivated by defense needs last few years, were actually a negative in terms of our economic recovery.
Bernanke, speaking Monday at the Brookings Institution, says part of the reason the sudden cuts were a mistake was not only did they harm broader economic growth, they created inefficiencies within the federal budget because, for example, of the need to suddenly cancel procurements.
There was these steps taken to correct the deficit in the very short run that probably had long-run costs in terms of preparedness, in terms of canceling systems that were midway and that sort of thing. There's nothing in our deficit prospect that should make us distort our defense planning in the near term. And we should be making our decisions based on medium-term considerations, based on what makes the most sense in terms of efficiency for achieving our objectives. There's no reason to be taking draconian steps right now that will have long-run costly implications for our defense posture just for deficit reasons. The deficit is a longer-run issue, and we should be thinking about it in a longer-run context.
But Bernanke also painted a complicated picture of the effects of defense spending on the broader U.S. economy. More spending is not necessarily better, he says, especially when it comes to personnel. The military and the government as a whole should not be seen as a benefit to the economy simply because it provides jobs, he says.
You want to avoid sort of the mindset of the congressman who wants to have a base in his district, right? Because the creation of jobs through expenditure by the government, it's creating jobs, yes, but the output of those workers is in some sense, is not contributing to the standards of living, it's contributing to a different set of outcomes. So clearly the fact that we have whatever 1.4 million active duty soldiers is in some sense a cost to our economy. I mean, obviously they're important. I'm not in any way saying there's too many or too few, but their services are, you know, being used for defense purposes and are not obviously contributing to the private economy. And so we shouldn't be confused into saying, oh, the more people we employ in the military, the better. Obviously, on the one hand, you're creating jobs, but on the other hand, the output of those jobs are not contributing to private sector standards of living. So it is a real cost that we have to bear the fiscal and economic burden of a large military. Maybe good reasons for it, but it's a cost, not a benefit.
On the other hand, there are clear relationships in some areas of U.S. military spending and economic growth, and consequences for that growth when the spending gets cut off. For example, even though many would argue that DoD is still underinvesting in basic scientific research, it still pays for a large share of basic research that otherwise wouldn't get done, and that ultimately benefits private sector companies.
The studies that have looked at the empirical relationship between R&D spending at the military, on the military, and R&D spending outside show a positive relationship. The complements are probably somewhat stronger than the substitute effect. So every dollar of extra military R&D not only does not displace a dollar of private sector R&D, it probably adds 20 or 30 cents of extra private sector R&D because of the things that are learned in the military application. So I think that if you want to make a case that U.S. military preparedness and spending have made a positive impact on U.S. growth, it would probably be through the R&D linkages and spillovers, which seem to be positive and seem to have been beneficial. So I think that's an important finding and one that probably argues, in a sense, particularly for more basic research, which, again, the economic case is very strong.
And Mark Muro, a senior fellow at Brookings, says beyond basic research, DoD tends to be an early adopter and investor in the actual products that result from that research, most of which are produced by private companies in a competitive marketplace.
Whether it's computer science, material science, solid state, atomic movements, data analytics, robotics, the list goes on. So, and then it's deployed huge procurement budgets. So this is a different, in this sense, not just early stage R&D, but creating markets for new technologies. You know, this is a focused mission. Enduring ties to the private sector have been a distinctive feature of the military enterprise. And then this role as an early customer for advanced technologies, whether it be nanophotonic microprocessors or artificial intelligence software, data analytics, to some extent, the military continues to not just make the early investments, but to be a discerning, strategic early customer. So that's what I worry about.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.